Let's look tonight at Psalm 67. I mentioned to you the theme of knowing God and making Him known. And as I was thinking about that particular theme, the content of it, think about it. Two things. To know God and then to make Him known. And as we think about those thoughts tonight, and as I thought about them these past couple of weeks, this theme, in my opinion, really does deal with what I would call ultimate things. Ultimate things. It is an ultimate thing, would you not agree with me, to know God. That's an ultimate. And then to be used of Him to make Him known throughout the ends of the earth. That too is an ultimate thing. And so in a very real sense, not being overly dramatic at all, we're dealing with a theme here tonight that really does deal with ultimate things. And I don't know about you, but when I think about things that are ultimate, those kinds of things, there are very few of those kinds of things really in our lives. But when I think about that kind of thing, I think about the relationship between two other things. And that is the relationship between purpose and fulfillment. Those two things. When you think about ultimate things, you have to think about purpose and fulfillment. And so when we think tonight a little bit briefly about purpose and fulfillment, basically, we're asking ourselves two questions. What were you created to do? That's purpose. And what is it that will bring true contentment and fulfillment in your life? And here's what I want to suggest as we begin to introduce this message tonight, that those two things have to come together to truly experience both. You will never know what it is in life to truly be fulfilled until you begin to live out the purpose for which you were created. That's the only place true fulfillment really can be found. Fulfillment really is experiencing what you were created for. And as we think about that tonight, I want to suggest this. That our purpose and our fulfillment truly is wrapped up in this theme. Folks, this is not just some theme of many themes that could be adopted for a missions conference. I would say that the content of this theme is taken up with ultimate things, to know God and make Him known. Really speaks to the very purpose for which you were created, and the only real way you could ever find fulfillment and contentment in your life as you fulfill that created purpose. Well, when it comes to knowing God and making Him known, that's not just a New Testament idea. It's not just something you find in the New Testament. Outreach and evangelism is not just a New Testament concept. Though it's very, I guess we could say, New Testament in its orientation. But folks, even the Old Testament encourages this idea of knowing God and making Him known. You're in Psalm 67, and so I want to read to you this very obscure kind of brief psalm. It reads, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Folks, this is a psalm with a global vision. It is national in its tone, and it's missionary in its character. It is written by an unnamed psalmist who seems to understand the relationship between purpose and fulfillment. Just as our theme for this conference deals, in my opinion, with ultimate things, this psalm ends with an ultimate. Notice again that seventh verse. This is an ultimate thing. God shall bless us. And how about this for an ultimate? And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Do you understand, folks, that everything is going in that direction? In spite of what everything looks like around us, in spite of how things appear to be unraveling around us, I want to submit to you tonight that in spite of all of that, everything is still going in the direction of one day all the earth bowing the knee and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's an ultimate. And so as we look at this psalm tonight very briefly, I want to suggest there's three stanzas to this psalm with a kind of reoccurring refrain. And the first stanza is found in the first two verses, with that third verse serving as the refrain. And that refrain is this: let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. The second stanza is found in verse 4. And then with the same similar refrain in verse 5, when it says again, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. And then the last stanza is in verse 6, in the first part of verse 7, and then the refrain in the last part of verse 7, when it says, all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And so we have three stanzas. It's a good hymn, right? And it has that refrain that's repeated, and that refrain is wrapped up with praising God, worshiping God. After all, that is what God is seeking in all the earth. He is seeking worshipers. And if you don't leave with anything tonight, I want you to leave with this big idea, this takeaway, if you will. Here it is. Every single one of us here tonight, and every follower of Jesus Christ, ought to have the deep, heartfelt conviction that everyone on the planet ought to worship the true and living God of the Bible. Every single one of us ought to have that as a deep, heartfelt conviction. Let me ask you tonight, do you have the conviction that everyone in the world, everyone on the planet, everyone on the globe ought to worship the true and living God of the Bible? Folks, this is what drives us, right? I mean, this is what motivates us. It is that conviction that he is deserving of national, global praise from all people everywhere. And so this is a psalm with global praise as a desired end. And so you see, it is dealing in the ultimate. Now, as you make your way through this psalm, and I just want to break it down very simply tonight, it begins with a petition. You find that petition, that request in verse 1 in these words: God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And folks, if you made your way back to the tabernacle of the Old Testament, that would be the last word that you would hear from the priest at the end of worship. In other words, the priestly blessing in the tabernacle at the close of worship was given here and repeated here, and you can find that in the book of Numbers. In other words, every worship service in the tabernacle ended with this benediction. I don't know, perhaps the psalmist was coming out of that experience. Maybe he was making his way from the tabernacle, having freshly heard that benediction. And so what was pronounced there as a benediction is employed here, not as a benediction, but as a commencement. It's not the end of something, and it's not used as the end of something by the psalmist. But in fact, it's used as the beginning of something. And I want you to notice that. And I'm not suggesting that it's just the beginning of this psalm, right? Because it's the first verse. No, I'm suggesting that this is the beginning of something that has to do with our purpose and our fulfillment. He uses it as a starting point. But this starting point is and serves, I think, as a prerequisite. A prerequisite to what? Well, let me ask you if you're engaged tonight, all right? I know we had a fine meal and the hour's getting late, but let me ask you, what is, not a hard question, all right, but what is the first word of verse 2? That. That was a little weak. All right? The first word of verse 2 is that. So what does that mean? That means that whatever we find in verse 2 is somehow connected to what was stated in verse 1. You could read it this way. I'm not going to repeat verse 1, but notice verse 1, and now we smoothly go into verse 2 to the purpose. All right, you have the petition. That's in verse 1. That's the request. But what's the purpose of that request? What's the purpose of that petition? Here it is, verse 2. In order that, that's the connection, in order that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Now, folks, I'm pretty sure that I've read this psalm before somewhere along the way. But I think for the first time a couple of weeks ago, I noticed this connection. And it really caught my attention because this blessing that is being asked for in verse 1, this blessing is not a blessing that, if I could put it this way, that would be consumed. But rather, that would serve as fuel for something else. You know, it kind of reminded me that we live very much in a consumer world. In fact, our churches, and I hate to say it, but a lot of times people in our churches take very much a consumer mentality to church. And as you read this blessing, they're saying, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Folks, they were not asking God to pour out his blessing and to give them his favor for themselves. This was not a blessing that they wanted to consume upon themselves. But rather, this was a blessing that they were requesting from God in order that his way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations. Do you know, I think almost enemy one of the gospel today is materialism. Materialism. I hate to share with you this statistic, but I'm a pretty transparent guy, and so I'll share it with you anyway. We just had a stewardship month at Faith Baptist Church, and last Sunday, the last message that I preached was on faith promise giving, because that's the method we use to give toward our missions program at Faith. And in fact, our missions conference starts next Sunday, all right? And so I'm seeking to prepare them to be praying about and thinking about faith promise and what they'll give. And I always set the same goals every year. I don't set monetary goals because, frankly, monetary goals scare me. They just make you too vulnerable, I think, at least for my comfort level. And so every year I set these two goals. The first goal is everyone involved. That's goal number one, just having everyone involved. And then the second goal is, if you're already involved, pray about increasing. And I tell our church, is if we have everyone involved, and if those who have been historically involved will pray about increasing that amount that they give, then God will give us everything we need in our church to do what He wants our church to do when it comes to reaching this world for Jesus Christ. And I believe that. But for the first time in 10 years of serving at Faith, I asked the question of our business office that I've never asked. And here was the question. What percentage of our giving units at Faith Baptist Church participate in our faith promise giving? I'm not looking at numbers. I'm not wanting to know how much individuals are giving. I just want to know what percentage of our people are participating in the missions giving of Faith Baptist Church. And I have to be honest with you, I was a little surprised to learn the answer. The answer was, drum roll, right? 41%. 41%. And I have to tell you, I consider Faith Baptist Church to be full of very good people. Sacrificial people, and they are, and giving people. But I was surprised to learn that only 41% of our people give on a regular basis to the missions giving program of Faith Baptist Church. And I really believe that one of the reasons for that is because we live in a very materialistic culture. You know, we don't even know how to talk about sacrifice in the United States of America. What is that? You know, I was sharing with our church, we have what I would call rich people problems in the United States. You know what a rich people problem is? Well, here's one. My second car isn't running. Here's another rich people problem. I can't use my laptop. I have to use my desktop because my laptop is broken. Or, you know, I only get 2 weeks vacation. 2 weeks vacation. Well, that means you have a job. These are rich people problems. And folks, I want to hasten to say that when the Bible addresses the rich, hear me, it's talking to you. It's talking to you. It's talking to us. In the United States of America, everyone that lives in the United States of America, the poorest person that lives in the United States of America is rich by the world's standards, global standards. We are the rich that the Bible is talking to. And I think one of the enemies of the furtherance of the gospel is we are consuming the blessings of God upon ourselves. None of that here. The unnamed psalmist is asking for God to bless in order that His ways might be known in the earth. In other words, the psalmist is saying, God, I want You to bless me. I want to have Your mercy. I want Your face to shine upon me. We want Your favor so that we can take all the resources that You're going to bless us with and leverage all of them for kingdom purposes. Leverage all of it for the furtherance of the gospel. Leverage all of your blessings so that every person in the world can know your way. And folks, God's ways is paramount to who God is. I mean, the way He works reveals who He is. And basically, that's what the psalmist is saying. God bless us so that we can make you known, so that we can let the whole world know who you are. And then secondly, what does he say? And thy saving health among all nations. We want the resources and to leverage those resources so that we can let people know who you are and what you have to offer. Who is God and what does he have to offer? Well, he offers salvation. And so the psalmist is asking for those resources in order for those resources to be leveraged for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, I'm going to prioritize. Basically, that's what he's saying without saying it. I'm going to prioritize. First priority, with all the resources, God, that you give me, first priority is letting the whole earth know who you are and what you have to offer. You know, I think one of the greatest challenges of most Christians today is not choosing between what is good and what is bad, because most of us have sense enough to know the difference between those two things. I don't know how it is with you, but the greatest challenge for me on any given day is choosing what is best over what is good. That's harder. Because usually what is best involves sacrifice. Usually what is best means self-denial. Usually what is best means saying no to my flesh and the desires of my flesh. And if there's a need that we have among the people of God today, it is the need to prioritize. It is to get back to choosing what is best over what might be good. Because frankly, what is good is wasting a lot of time that we don't have to waste. How many of God's people are wasting their time with things that are good? Maybe not sinful things. Maybe not necessarily wrong things, but not best things. Or let me ask you tonight, are there better ways that you can use your time for kingdom purposes? Are there better ways tonight that you can use your resources and the things that God has given you for His agenda rather than your agenda? You know that a priority is a choice that drives all the other choices in life. And the psalmist, the unnamed psalmist, says here, I am establishing a priority with all the resources that God has given me. I want to take all the time that God gives me. I want to take all the resources that God has given me, and I want to use those for this priority of making known who you are and what you have to offer. Well, lastly, what's the product of that? What is the result of accomplishing the mission? Because here's what I would say. Verse 1 is the power, and verse 2 is the mission, right? Verse 1 is where the power comes, the resources come, and verse 2 is the mission. And when you leverage those resources and that power for that mission, what is the result? Well, we noted it at the beginning. And we find it in the last verses of this psalm. It says, then. You see that word, then. Result. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. You know, the concept of fearing God, that is the most comprehensive term for our relationship to God. In other words, you take all the aspects, all the characteristics of a right relationship to God, and it's all wrapped up in that word fear. It's the most comprehensive term that you can find in the Bible to describe the nature, the right nature of a relationship between us and God. And that's what this psalmist is saying. The ultimate end, when the mission is accomplished, is that there will be people all over the earth that will be rightly related to Him. Right relationship to Him, and they will give Him the worship that He is due. I want to close tonight. There's a little more here, but for the sake of time, I want to bring this down to a very fine point. I want to ask you this. Ask us this. And it's kind of like preaching to the choir, and so I feel bad for asking. But are you really leveraging all the resources that God has blessed you with? I have to ask myself that question. Am I leveraging all the resources that God has blessed me with in order that this world may come to know my God and what He has to offer? Life is basically made up of two things, folks. Time and resources. And you only have so much of both. And my concern is that we are wasting it away rather than truly leveraging it to know God and make Him known. And so, the challenge for us all tonight is to get back to loving the gift giver more than the gift. And falling back in love with Him so much so that your burning passion, the desire of your heart is singular in terms of knowing Him. And you know what? I can say singular because really, the byproduct of knowing God is making Him known. To know Him is to make Him known. And so tonight, you know, it'd be wonderful if we, as the people of God and people in our churches, started praying this way. God, would You bless me? Now, if the prayer ended there, I'm not so sure about that one. But if we pray this way, God, would You bless our church? Would You bless our family? Would You bless me? Would You shine Your face upon us in order that I can leverage all of those resources, all that time and all those resources in order that the world may know You and what You have to offer. And I wonder how many of us, and this is the greater question, I wonder how many of us God could trust with that. Could God trust you with a bountiful blessing? May we beseech God, pour out our hearts to Him and say, God, would You bless us? Not for our own purposes or our own agenda, but so that we can take everything that You've blessed us with, and know You, and make You known. Someone made this statement, and I close. Is this true? Is this really true? I don't know. Is this really true? Do we have at our disposal everything we need to do what God commanded us to do when He said to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel? Do we have right now in our possession as followers of Christ everything that we need to do that? Do we? Then what's going on? Why are we not getting the job done? I think it's because some of those resources, some of that time, is being squandered. May God help us to be good stewards of His resources and leverage them for His purposes.